Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to A New Beginning. And my name is John Davis, and I have my wife with me, Nadine. How are you doing, babe?
I'm here.
All right. Well, this is a brand new broadcast, y'all. It's on Thursday nights now, and we're going to be talking about every subject. And tonight, we're going to break some chains. We're going to talk about marriage and adultery, human adultery and spiritual adultery. So let's start off with a couple of thoughts right here. We talk about human adultery, but why don't we talk about spiritual adultery? Is it because we are not truly married to Christ? What is communion? What does the Bible say it is? And what does it mean to us? Is communion remembering Jesus and his gift to us? Or is it a tradition? Why do we only obey Jesus sometimes? Isn't he our husband? Is it because we don't have to, because we don't obey it because we don't have to, because we don't want to, or is it because we don't believe that he's real? Human marriage says, husbands, love your wives, and wives, obey your husbands. But our marriage between us and God was when we openly declare that Jesus is our Lord, we accepted him as being real and alive. We believe it in our hearts, and that God raised him from the dead. It was by faith and believing in our heart that we were married to Christ. At that wedding, we were made right with God, and it is by our openly declaring about our faith in Jesus that we are his bride and that we are and we were saved. Hello, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Charlotte Christian Fellowship Thursday night broadcast. God honored Jesus' body by raising him from the dead, from the grave. He'll raise our bodies also, his bride, with the same resurrection power. We'll be united. Until that time, we remember that our bodies are created with the same dignity as Christ, and that means holy. We've got a question for you. Would we take Jesus' body to a whorehouse? Would we? We shouldn't, but some of us do. And what does that mean? There's more to sex than just mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. The scriptures say the two shall become one. When having sex, in other words, when we have sex, the two shall become one. Since we want to become spiritual one with Jesus, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, which leaves us longer than we first had the sex. That kind of sex can never become real. In other words, when you have sex out of wedlock and adultery, stuff like that, that can never become a one-on-one person to become one. There is a sense in which sexual sin is different from all others. In sexual sin, we violate the sanctity, how do you pronounce this word?
sacredness.
The sacredness of our own bodies. The bodies that was made for God and modeled in his love to become one with him. Our marriage to Christ made our bodies in a sacred place, a place where God's Holy Spirit lives. We can't live however we want to live anymore. Pleasing our sinful nature how do you pronounce this word here?
Squandering.
And squandering what God paid such a high price for, it is just wrong. It's just a sin, a big sin. Our physical, the physical parts of our body, the physical part of us, is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of us, but God owns the whole works, everything. We were made for God. Part of us belongs to the world, other part belongs to God. It's all or none. God spoke about some of that inside the Bible about being lukewarm. We're going to go over all this again, but I just want to get through this part right here. We'll go back over this before we can discuss a lot of this, break it down. Okay? So, we know he owns the whole work. So, let people see us. So, let people see God in us and us in him and everything we do and say throughout our bodies. Tonight, this new beginning is going to have a real talk about what Jesus says about human and spiritual adultery. Now, you can continue to listen to us on the internet, but if you want to join us, those who listen to the internet, if you want to join us, you got to call the number. The number is 657-383-1624. That's if you want to talk and participate. I'm hoping that a lot of you guys who are listening call in, because this is something that a lot of us are going through, if not physically, in our minds. And we think that we can get away with it, but as we begin to talk these different subjects, we're going to find out that God says he searches our minds. And so in a Sermon on the Mount, you'll find out what Jesus said, some things that that's inside before you actually, if you stare at a woman with lust in your heart, you're actually committed to sin and sex. But we're going to be getting deep into every situation, every conversation, to we can find out what God says and what Jesus says versus what you've been hearing in churches and what yourself been saying that you can get away with, these myths and stuff. So we're going to actually get you a relationship. We're going to point you to Christ, but you can have a relationship one-on-one. You can find out why you're married to Christ and what that means and what communion means. We're going to get into all of that stuff like that. So before we go any further, I would like my wife to pray us in, if she would, please.
Father God, we thank you. We bless your holy name. We look to you, Father, for everything and in everything. We ask for your guidance tonight, Lord God. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be the teacher tonight. Father God, we may think we know everything, but we know at the end of the day we know nothing. Only what has been revealed to us in your word, Father God, is what we can tangibly hold on to. And the deeper revelations that comes forth from your Holy Spirit, Father God, we thank you. Use this time tonight to glorify yourself and also to bring joy and peace and understanding to the hearts of our listeners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we're going to start. What I'd like to do is open the mics up and allow everybody who's listening to be able to participate. But I'd like you guys to know before we do that, if this is a live broadcast, you're more than willing to participate. As my wife just mentioned just then, we're not the answer people. The Holy Spirit leads this broadcast. My wife and I are co-hosts, and we're going to be inviting other co-hosts down the line to come and join with us on subjects and stuff of that nature. This is not a planned broadcast where we got scripts and stuff. I write down what the Lord gives me that morning, and I share with you guys on that evening. This is a brand new broadcast, the first time. This is what's called a maiden voyage, okay? So I'm praying that more participation would come. You know, people would come in and participate more than the other broadcasts. But this is from glory to glory to glory. The book of Genesis that we went through was showing us that even men and women of God made mistakes. He didn't give up on them. I mean, we've seen where the brothers came against brothers. We've seen where incest. We've seen where one brother had sex with one of his stepmoms. We've seen where Abraham, a man of God, disobeyed God. We've seen where God actually came and destroyed a whole nation that's gone today. We've seen where pride rose up in one brother against another brother. We've seen so many things in just the book of Genesis. And those things right there are just the beginning. But those things, God used that to show us today that nothing has changed. And remember what God says when Abraham had brothers and sisters and dad? He did. You can also see what first, as a man of God, idol of son, and God told him to kill it. You know, so we make mistakes, but God reveals himself through us and now through his Holy Spirit that we'll be able to change from that, that we won't maintain that same old person, that we will be changed into to become like him. I read to you guys about Romans 9 and 10 about the marriage. Me and my wife was talking earlier, and I said to her, I said, the whole Bible is related. That's about the marriage, you know? And in the book of Revelation, it talks about he's coming back for his bride. Well, he's coming back for something that's here now. We are the bride, but we're going to act like that. And if we're married, and like, man, my wife is married, and if she's not home, I can't go out there and act like I used to act all simple and stupid and stuff. That right there is breaking my marriage vows to my wife. Likewise, she can't do it. So it doesn't make a difference which one do it. Adultery is adultery. But when we commit it, and this is what we talked about earlier today also, when we got married, we made vows. The vows we made was the Lord was the center of that. So did we start off lying in the beginning? You know, and then when you start off lying, that's how God is. He's really good. God is really good. Some people say it, you ought to realize he is good because he can change the hearts, and he did change our hearts. There's a, and I like you guys to know that my wife did write a book, and that book tells our testimony. Well, he actually changed our hearts. Okay, so and when we talk about today, we can go back in a way in the past when we talked about in Genesis, where you see God changed the hearts of Pharaoh with Abraham's wife. So God is so awesome. He doesn't change. He called Abraham his people. Today, we are his people. You know, and if we get to study in the Word of God and the different conversations that we're having, you'll find out where that process took place. You know, where no longer Jew nor Greek. You're going to find out so much of different things about who God's people is. It ain't about circumcision. It's about faith now. You know, it's about, you know, being born again. You know, we're going to find out, we're going to go through the Word and learn with each subject how much God loves us and the difference in, you know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament and how we walk out marriage with God, you know. And that marriage with God will have us acting different with our marriage with each other, you know. So I want you guys to also know that every Tuesday night, at 7 o'clock, my wife has a broadcast. It's called Life's Uncertain Journey. To join that broadcast, and it's a discipleship meeting broadcast where people actually do this conversation. Awesome. I think next week you're talking about spiritual adultery too. I'm not sure. Am I correct? You know. So. And so that number to dial in there is 929-477-3427. Again, that's 929-477-3427. We're about to get into, you know, these the myths versus facts versus what God considers who us to be in as His bride. Mr. Dibb, would you like to share anything before we open the mics? Well, we're going to open the mics now. Let's see here. Okay, remember again, the mics are open, but remember, if you have something to say, please unmute yourself. If you don't have anything to say, keep yourself muted until you do. So the first conversation we're going to have now is talking about human adultery versus spiritual adultery. And do we know exactly what that means? Mrs. Davis, would you like to share the difference of the two?
Well, I would probably begin by sharing that there is something of great divine value in a marital relationship that in many cases, from a human standpoint, we don't understand. And we have been programmed to see marriage the way Hollywood sees marriage. And that has become our norm. Okay, what we saw or what we saw on TV about what marriage is totally Hollywood. It has nothing to do with the relationship of marriage that God desires for His people. So we're sort of at a disadvantage, but we're asking the Holy Spirit that He would illuminate to our minds what He meant about the mystery of marriage. And I'm pretty sure you read about it in Ephesians when Paul was teaching about how husbands are supposed to treat their wives and how wives are supposed to respond to their husbands. And I know in many cases it can ruffle folks' feathers because it seems like it's almost impossible. Mm-hmm. Basically because we're married to fallen people. Okay, we're married to people who have come up in a culture of selfishness. And I was telling my husband today that the sad thing about some of the marriages today is that in many cases, people marry not because of what they wanted to serve the other one, but for what the other one could do for them.
Mm.
You see, and that's this whole marital tradition that is of the world where women expect men to lavish them with stuff, you know, and serve them and wait on them and all these other kinds of things. Basically, they have learned that ideology from Hollywood. That's not Christian marriage, okay, and that's not what God intended. So if we cannot comprehend the natural marriage, you're not going to understand the spiritual marriage.
Hmm.
I'm just going to put it out there and say it because they are just so far apart as far as what they the significance of them are, the purpose of it, and so forth and so on. So I would say let's start to try and understand how to interpret what God intended for the earthly marriage, which is a facsimile or was supposed to be a facsimile of what a divine and holy marriage is supposed to be. But by starting there, we'll understand some things about why so many Christian marriages are falling apart. Okay, you got to get real because, and it may not taste very good, but the truth of the matter is that a lot of the Christian marriages are not based on anything biblical. It's based on culture.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what gets us in trouble.
Amen. And that was one part of what you were saying, and that's true, that Hollywood marriage. But then people like myself that came from back in the woods and stuff like that, and the marriages and stuff like, well, I don't know if you ever heard about it, the wife listen to everything the husband said, had no voice, okay? And one of those type of things where the husband, they said, the wife stay home and have babies, and the husband go out and work, and then he do what he want to do and come home and be a king in the house. But those are also some old traditional things that need that are still going on need to be broken. Also, when we talk about the human marriage, we're talking about most of the marriages when they come with the vows, and we talked about that earlier today. When you came in with the, when they first did the vows about loving, that those vows, did they really mean them when they said them? You know, because when sometimes in the marriage you're here, either the wife or the husband say, "You lied to me again. You lied to me again." Well, did they lie again, or did they ever tell the truth? In other words, when they first got married, was that a lie? You see, because when they got married, did they mean what they said when they said the vows to each other? Because God is a witness. Because you said unto God, well, they're taking each other. But was that a lie? Because that lie there, and that's just, if the marriage is built on a lie, and what did Jesus say? Then if you're built on a lie, then the devil's your father. You see? And so did the marriage come in with God using the words of God? Or did they come in with God, you know, come with the devil using the word of God? Those are two different things. And when people say, well, what do you mean, John? Let me tell you what it means. Satan knows the word of God. He knows because he tried to use the same words to try to tempt Christ. If you all know when you read the Bible, you heard about that, all the temptations that Satan tried to do to Christ when he was baptized. So you know he knows the word. But he'll use the word of God to try to tempt us to do things out of the character of God, to commit adultery, spiritual adultery, you see? And that's what a lot of us are doing today. So when we come against the word of God, what God says to do, and we don't do it, we're now committing spiritual adultery. You see, it's the same thing when we say love our wives and then we go outside of the marriage and we love our wife, go outside of marriage, you know, that having relationships outside of marriage, and that's why the word says you come out even lonelier than you went into it. That sex, that can never make people one on one. So when you hear these people saying, well, you know, they're not married, but they want to try each other out before they get married, if they match. That ain't no match. It's got nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. That's man-made lies, you know, and it's adultery. And especially us brothers and sisters who call ourselves Christians. That is truly something that we really got to get away from, this man-made ideals when the churches and preaching, well, y'all got to know each other. Knowing each other don't mean having sex. Knowing each other means that, you know, knowing that wife, knowing that husband means that y'all are the same mindset. So don't be unequally yoked. But now, being took to the point where it got to be sex. Sex is something, an appropriation that God's put together for to have bear fruit. It's one of the plus signs of a marriage. You know, they actually talk about, you know, I think Paul talked about it in one of the passages, if you can't restrain yourself, then best to get married. But those people who can't restrain themselves getting married are to get married for the right reason. You see, so we're still talking about adultery. We're talking about human adultery, which is physical. Spiritual adultery, but you will send your butt to hell. So we want y'all to understand that the adultery, when we call ourselves Christ and the Holy Spirit living in us, we have adultery go outside of the marriage. We're actually taking, that's why the scripture said we take Jesus into our whorehouse. When we take Jesus into our adultery affairs, we take him into our fleshly adultery affairs. Sneaking out on each other. That's adultery affair. If you're taking him to the Holy Spirit's enemy, he don't come out of you when you're going into the adultery affair, because the Lord never leaves nor forsakes us. So we're taking him in there with us, because when you want to or not, you're doing it. And you're also committing spiritual adultery, because now you're breaking the word of God by breaking his, as Rose said, well, thou should not have sex outside of marriage, and you're doing it, so you're doubling up. Just imagine this, brothers and sisters out there who are listening. At this moment right here, whenever we're talking about doing things, well, we have to for forgiveness. if God came right now, if Jesus Christ came right now for you, are you sure that you're going to heaven? And people say, well, you can't be sure. You're a liar. You can't be sure. Unless you call God a liar. He said he's coming back for us. He's going to prepare a place for us. So then there's a way that you can press towards that mark. Repent of our sins. Humble ourselves. The word tells us how to make sure. But are we making sure by the word, or are you making sure by your own made up little things? You know, little I do either, or what's called little traditions that you heard passed down. Well, God knows the heart. I'm all right. I know he's sin. I know that. Yes, he does. But we should not continue in the same sin. We should not do it. We can fight the fight of faith. And we're talking about the drugs is hard to get off of, and alcohol is hard to get off of. Sexual adultery is hard to get off of. But let me tell you something. God sent Jesus to the world to save us from sinning. And when we can't stop, when we're still pressing toward that mark, that's where grace comes in. But we got to do our part. It ain't no free ride to, well, you know, I'm saved and I can keep on sinning. The Bible says, God forbid. I want to ask another question. You two would have a question to answer first? Before we go into first to the next question, anybody would like to say anything? Okay. Got another question. The question is, what is communion? What does the Bible say communion is, and what do we say it is? What does it mean to us? Well, the Bible says with communion, we do it as much as possible in remembrance of him. That's why we have communion. Okay. Now, do we have communion in remembrance of him, and what does that mean? That means all that Jesus taught. That means remembering who he is to us. Remember that he died for us. Remember that, you know, he's taking away our sins. When we have communion, are we just saying, well, this is what the Bible said to do, and say, well, I remember you, Lord, moving on? Are we remembering what he did? I remember the reason he did it. Are you remember that he suffered for us? Are we remembering what that is? Are we doing it because of true remembrance of who he is to us? Are we doing it because the church say we're going to have communion today, and I want to go have communion? You know, the Bible tells us that we should not take communion if we have ought in our hearts, you know, have anger with someone or sin against someone or having acts of giving, because you got many people saying, well, I don't want to take communion. Those people might be more right not taking it than we are to taking it, because communion is actually remember the marriage that we have with Jesus. The marriage for how we took Romans 9:10, remembering that he's our Lord and Savior. He's our husband. We're the bride. He actually calls us, but he actually said, I'm coming back for you. God calls us his children. Jesus said, I'm coming back for you. We're not abandoned. We're not orphans. So when we have communion, what are we having communion about? I mean, what's the purpose to have communion if you're not remembering the reason for the communion? Would you like to share something, Mr. Davis?
Well, I'd just like to say that the unfortunate thing that I guess is still a part of our culture. I still have to go back to the fact that we have learned some things that have been taught to us and passed down to us by people who were taught the same thing.
Yep.
They only knew to teach us what they knew.
Yep.
There was just nothing else, any other way to for it to be handed down. And what that means is that we're, in many cases, we're in error.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that keeps us from falling prey to some religious rituals and all those other kinds of things that the organized church has implemented is getting in the Word for yourself. Mm. You got to go to God's Word for yourself. And it is more paramount now that we get to, that we begin to do that, or we're going to be in trouble. And I say that because we are living in the age of deception. Jesus said, you know, look, this is the way it's going to be in the end. All right? And we're not at the beginning of the age, and I'm pretty sure most of you are astute enough to know that. We're not at the beginning of the age. We're not in the middle of the age. But everything points to the confirmation that we are at the end of the age of mankind.
Amen.
Okay, so understanding that, we have to have a genuine love for the Word of God and His truth, or we will be deceived. Okay? You're not going to escape it, because you got the deceiver deceiving you on one side, but guess what?
Mm.
God said in 2 Thessalonians 2, I'm going to send a deception.
Mm.
And it's going to be so strong, you're going to believe it.
Mm.
And the only protection against this deception, either from the enemy or the one, the delusion that God is going to send, is your love for the truth. If you have no love for the truth, if you have no relationship with the Word of God, you're going to be in trouble. And that's just the way that it is, because that's the way God prophesied it. So these traditions and rituals and things that we do that have no spiritual significance, we're just going through the motions. Like my husband said, we don't even know the purpose of communion. We just do it because everybody else do it. They say that's what we're supposed to do, so that's what we do. And we don't even regard the body of Christ, the blood that was shed for us. We don't regard that. Not in our hearts. We don't.
Hmm.
So it all goes back to the same point. We have been raised in a culture of error. And the only way to escape is through the truth, the Word of God. And God has sent us help.
Yes, He has.
It's called the Holy Spirit.
Yes, He has.
He sent us the Holy Spirit to illuminate those words in that Bible that we can't understand. Because I'm going to tell you, you're not going to understand everything you read. That's what the helper was sent to do,
mm-hmm.
to help you understand, to show you these things. He's our teacher now that Jesus is gone. The Holy Spirit is now our teacher, and He wants to reveal some things.
Yes, He does.
I mean, things that humanly you cannot comprehend. These are things that are spiritually discerned. Okay? And so if you're nowhere in that camp, if you're not nowhere close to getting spiritual revelations, then I encourage you to have a diligent spirit to seek after God. God said, if you diligently seek me, you're going to find me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not talking about a nominal curiosity. That's what the world has. They're curious about everything. And that's why they got duped. Now they believe in the mysticism, you know, magic and all this other kind of stuff. And they entwining it into scripture, trying to make it a part of what God is.
Yeah,
it's demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is the culture. This is where we are in the world today. But God is asking, and He is waiting for us to focus ourselves on Jesus Christ, because there is just no other way that we are going to be able to get out of this mess without Jesus Christ. Philosophy ain't gonna do it. CBN ain't going to do it. CNN ain't going to do it. You see, the president of the United States is not going to do it.
Vaccine.
And that's right. The vaccine is not going to do it. You know, if you really were spiritually astute, you would understand that whenever God brought calamity and pestilence to a nation, it was because of what they did or what they did not do.
That's a worldwide.
All the nations in the world does not have the number of deaths that are coming up in this country. Do you hear me, Church of God? You're not seeing it, but you're not looking at that. You're still trying to find out where the votes went. You see? And your Savior, your God, is angry with you because you're focusing on men, temporal things, when the Spirit, of the living God is telling you, you need to focus on Jesus.
Amen.
And then you go out and think this COVID, this, what do you call it, vaccine going to help you? And then what did he do? He sent a snowstorm. So you can't even move it, transport. He's confounding you. And you are not even paying any attention because you are asleep. Wake up, church. Wake up.
Amen.
Before Jesus shows up and we're gone and you're still twiddling your thumbs trying to figure out what happened.
Mm.
It's all written in God's word. But the communion that we experience is about what Jesus Christ did for us.
Right on.
Will we remember him? Will we remember the price that he paid?
The ring.
So that we would not fall under God's wrath?
Mm-hmm.
Do we remember that he gave his life blood so that we wouldn't be destroyed? Do you understand that part about what communion is?
That's it.
Because I'm telling you, if you did, you wouldn't forget it.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't forget it. Because everything, and then he says, guess what? Do this in remembrance of me. And then when I come, I'm going to take you to the real marriage supper of the Lamb.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's when we're going to drink real wine.
That's what I'm talking
divine
about.
Divine wine.
That's right.
When we are betrothed, when we are married to our betrothed. Jesus is our betrothed. It's like Joseph, Mary was Joseph's wife. But they didn't get betrothed. They didn't get married. But in their day, when they, we call it getting engaged. When they got engaged, that's just as much as getting married. There's no difference. That's why, even though they had not gotten through the marriage ceremony, that they wanted to stone her, and she wasn't even, you know, had not even, you know, taken their vows yet. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. Is that we don't want that to happen to us. You see, because this is what's happening with the church. Before they even get to the wedding supper, they're already committing adultery.
Hmm.
With the world.
Yep.
With the world. Committing adultery with a man. Why? So that they can, because of what they can get out of it.
People, places, things.
That's the culture. Marriage is about what I can get out of it.
Hmm.
Let me marry some money,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that I can be rich. Let me marry a handsome man so that everybody can see me strut my stuff as he on while I'm on his arm. Crazy, silly stuff. But we've got to wake up. We've got to wake up.
Amen. I see the communion as the ring on our hand that the Lord puts on our hand because with that blood, that cross. When he said, well, look here, I'm going to find a place. That's when we get married. Your husband finds a place for y'all to live. So he tells him, look, I'm going to find a place. Don't worry about it. I got it. I'm going to find a place. He said, meanwhile, I'm going to send you to somebody to take care of you while I'm gone. That was the Holy Spirit. And he said, when you come, he's going to tell you everything about me. See, so when we're talking about the communion, and see, remember, we receive Christ in Romans 9:10, and we pressed him, so he sends the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in us, and now he's living in us, and he's telling us about him. So therefore, when we remember with communion, we remember the vow he made to us, you know, the gift that he gave us, life, eternal life. He said, I died for you. That's a gift. You see, when in the old, back in the days of the Old Testament, you find out when a wife, you know, when a man married a woman, the parents got a gift, you know, that was a gift. The gift that God gave us was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the gift that he gives us is that communion that says, look at, this is a gift of the communion, meaning remember the gift I gave you. The gift is eternal life. That's a gift, you see. And also, something else he gives us, why before we even die, he said, I'm going to give you peace beyond man's understanding. I'm going to be your provider. I'm going to be your healer. See, all these things is within that communion thing, that remember who he is. But you can't get none of those things if you don't remember who he is. You're just doing something for the ritual. You know? Just like people say, well, this season here, this is the reason of giving. That ain't nowhere biblical. Let me tell y'all something. Jesus said, when you gave to someone in need, you was giving unto me. Did he even say this Christmas, did he? Or this thing called Christmas? I mean, there's so many things that men have taken from the Word of God, and we as Christian brothers and sisters are listening to somebody passing down some traditional bull crap saying that this is what we're supposed to do. We got to stop it. That's why the Word tells us only a remnant. This, do you remember this in the Bible says a lot of people going to come and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And they're going to say, depart from me. Because listen to this. This is just something someone had told me that I heard and another brother said who was a really respect and honor. When we say Lord, we know that's we're talking to Daddy. Why do we say Lord, Lord? We got an emotional thing going. Well, look at here. You know, stuff like that. You know, like you did something. We ain't did nothing. The emotional thing ain't going to get us into heaven. We have to have, what he said, faith. When we're doing something, we're not doing it to get some reward down here. We're doing something because that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's our job. For example, another question I have, why do we only obey Jesus sometimes? Why do we only obey him sometimes? Is it because, you know, we know he's our husband because we accept him as his bride, so we know that he's our husband. So, but why do we only obey him sometimes? Is it because we don't have to? Because we got free will? So I ain't got to do what you say. We don't want to. I don't want to do nothing. I ain't got to do it. I got the right. Or is it because we don't believe that he's real? A lot of us, when we sit with brothers and sisters in Christ and we say, well, we're praying, do we really believe that he's real? When we take the covenant, when we take the wine and the bread, do we believe that he's real? We're doing that. Why do we obey him? We got to understand who we're talking about when we say Jesus. Jesus and God, in the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word became life. The Word became life, became Jesus. And that's the dude who we married to. Okay? And he gave us, when we openly confessed it, he said, now look here. You ain't got to wait for no yearly or monthly thing, but as much as you do this, as much as you do what? Take the communion. Think about him, what he's done for us. That way we won't continue to let our old sinful nature rule us because we're remembering what he did. And so therefore we continue to pour in the word of God, remember what he did instead of just passing it by like it ain't nothing, they're going to do what we were doing. We would begin to decrease and he'd become to increase. That's what it's about. But we don't want to decrease. We want that our thing going. That's why we don't bear. We ain't got to. And so then when we don't have to, when we minister to other people, we minister to them in a lie because we're not obeying ourselves. And when we ain't obeying and telling somebody else they need to do it, hypocrite. Anybody doesn't know but you and them, you and the Lord, you and the person, anybody don't know but that's hypocrite. Hypocrite. That's what Christ called them. He said you watch the outside, but people can sit all lovey-dovey. But the inside, behind the door, just plain outright wicked. You know? They talk about the Pharisees and what's that one's name? The Pharisees and the Sadducees. These are people who knew the Word of God. Paul was a hypocrite. Paul was a hypocrite. But God introduced himself to him. And what happened after that? Since that time, he started serving like nobody else's business. That's why when you see this man, he said, look, who taught you? He was taught by Jesus himself, the Holy Spirit. Paul, why are you persecuting? Brothers and sisters, why are we persecuting him? What is our problem? We're on that same road Paul was on. We know the word, study the word, talk the word. Say, how are you doing? Blessed and highly favored. That's what you hear a lot of that stuff going on. Blessed and highly favored. Oh, mumble, all that mumble, jumble. I talked one time about praying in tongues and talking in tongues. The Bible actually says, if you don't have someone interpreting what you're saying, then do it by yourself, because that's between you and the Lord. But when you're speaking in tongues, there should be someone there that can interpret it. Other than that, how can they praise God with you when they don't know what you're saying? You don't know what you're saying. They say the Holy Spirit in you talking to the Lord. There's the Holy Spirit in you talking to the Lord. That's in tongues. So I say to us that we need to stop these traditions that's going on. We need to humble ourselves. Ask the Lord, you know, I think in James, it says, if you lack anything, ask the Lord. Wisdom, you know what I'm saying? We need wisdom. We need to stop this, I ain't got to stuff. I ain't got to do all that. We need to ask the question, what would Jesus do? We need to really do that and stop saying, well, I ain't got to. We need to believe that he is. Because when we're praying, especially these days, praying for the sickness and dog disease going around, we're praying for our children and loved ones and parents and stuff like that. But are we praying to someone who we don't believe? Well, we say these little cute little sayings and stuff like that. Well, I'm praying and God bless you and all that. But the thing is, while they're living, are you sharing the word of God with them? While they're living, are you missing when they're gone? Then you go tell you the good things about, well, they were such a nice person. Did you ever tell them that? Did you ever pray with them? Or do you think that was too crazy to do it? I just call someone just what I was going to pray with you, brother. I just want to pray with you, sis. Do you do that? Or do you say, well, I just called and said, what you cooking? I want some of this and I want some of that. Are you thankful tonight? Are you thankful for what God has done for you? Do you believe he's real? Your mama can't get you into heaven. No religion can get you into heaven. I don't care if you got some religious prayer to Mother Mary and these bees and all that stuff like that. Let me tell you something, y'all. And back in the day when Jesus said he tore the veil, the door, opened the door for you can go direct to the Lord. He's in your heart. He's in there. And they say, oh, you can call him up from your heart. Lord, help me. Right now, where you at? Your simple accent, Lord, help me. Simple as that. It's not that simple, y'all. It ain't a whole bunch. You ain't got to go to school for it. Help me, Lord. Period. And believe me, he will help you. Because I'm seeking him, I think my wife mentioned today, when you search for him with a sincere heart, then you can definitely find him. But you got to believe that he exists. And that's a faith walk. Brothers and sisters, I want to also ask you another question about marriage. Marriage between God, what does that mean? What does marriage between us and God mean? Before I go to that question, does anybody like to say anything? Would you like to share anything, Mike, before I go further? Okay, well, the marriage between us and God, what does that really mean, he says? Because Jesus declared this, and he says, look here, we accepted him when we openly confessed it, you know, we believed he's real, and we openly confessed it. That Jesus is Lord. That's we were talking about Romans 9 and 10, okay? 9 and 10. Okay, so now we're talking about, we're going to break that down because it's easy to say the words, but what does it mean? So now I'm saying to people, and forget the people, but I'm saying in front of people because most times the days you need witnesses, but I'm openly declaring, Lord, I surrender. I'm asking you to come into my life. I believe that you exist, and I'm asking you to come to my life and save me, forgive my sins, and save me, Lord. Now, we're openly, this is the marriage vows. This is when you're getting married to Christ. This is the time when engagement, you heard about it. Okay? You know, this is when you say, well, I do want to get married. I do want him taking care of me. I do. This is the first life, but I know the second life is better than the first one. We're talking about salvation. You see, because there's two lives, there's two deaths. People don't have to believe it, but it's true anyway. This is the first death when you die here, but there's a second death when everybody was raised from the sea first, and then people living will come before God. He's going to separate the sheep from the goat. Those who have been devilish, doing the wrong thing, he's going to say to cast into the lake of first fire, and they're going to be tormented forever and ever. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But those who are obeying him, who are walking the walking person towards that mark, he says, welcome home, my good and faithful servant. And my wife just told you about what the scripture says. He said, look here, you come unto the wedding feast. Prepared for you before the foundations of the earth was even built. That's the feast we want to go to, y'all. That's the feast right there, y'all. You see? So that's why he says, when we have a communion night, don't be eating up like you're hungry and use it for eating. No. The feast, that is a wedding. Now we're talking about the vows of the wedding. You know, with the communion, remember what this wedding was. So if you had communion, you go to communion and say, well, I remember this dude gave me life, he forgave my sin, I want to marry him. So now you're getting married to Jesus. You're openly declaring to everybody, look, I'm married, y'all. I'm no longer in the street. I'm no longer going to have sex and spiritual adultery, sex and adultery out there. I'm not going to have human adultery. I'm going to be honorable. I'm going to obey my Lord, man. I'm going to obey my husband. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I'm going to learn who he is. He said, husbands know your wives. Wives know your husbands. Likewise. See, I'm going to learn who he is. I'm going to learn to obey him. I'm going to learn to follow him. I'm going to learn to bow to him. I'm going to humble myself to him because he is everything. He is my everything. He is my provider, my healer. You know, these things, Jehovah, Zeke, Jehovah Jireh, all this, when you get to knowing who God is to you, you know, you'll be finding out different words and stuff like he's my shadow of protection. You know, I'm telling you, our husband, nobody can, I mean, this is how beautiful he is, this is how powerful he is. He says nothing can snatch us out of his hand. Nothing. So who should we fear? That's what he says. Who should we fear if he is with us? We are at the wedding right now because we openly declare out of our mouths that Jesus is our husband. And we believe that he is real. Because you know what I'm saying? That's what faith walk is. Faith is knowing, walking into something that you don't see, but you know it's there. See, so I'm going to walk in faith because I know he's real. What he said he's going to do, he's going to do. And what he said he is, he is. Walk in that faith. So we're married to the one who created everything from the very beginning. We're married to him. And he's with us. That's what he said. He said, when you accepted him, he said he'll send the Holy Spirit. Listen, read the word, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how we baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we know the Holy Spirit's in us. Because he's with us. And he's always with us. So when we say, well, Lord, thank you, we're not saying it in vain. You know, find yourself saying thank you about the little things. And after a while, you begin to think about everything, the breath you take. Brothers and sisters, we got to believe that he's real. If you don't believe he's real, who are you praying to? This is something that God has opened the door for people to realize who he is. And he's doing it for a reason. Because in the end days, which the Lord has said already, that he's going to send a very powerful spirit. That spirit is going to be so powerful, deception spirit is going to be so powerful, that it's going to deceive many. And it's going to deceive so many people that those who call themselves walking with Jesus, I'm telling you, those people are going to be showing up because they ain't going to know who he is when he comes, just like a whole bunch of other people. But I'm going to tell you this, y'all. This is the time right now. This is the time right now for us to realize that, Lord, we need you. We want to know you. We want to be obedient to you. We want to stop sinning and let our old sinful nature have its way with us. We want you to have your way with us. We ask you that you would bless what you've given us and help us to use it to advance in your kingdom, because you gave it to us. You didn't give it to us for selfish reasons. The world do that. And if we continue in the same what we're doing, what's the difference from what we're doing the world doing? Brothers and sisters, y'all going to have a lot of people come against you when you begin to do what the Word of God says. Tradition itself says that, you know, that you want to know the person you're going to get married with, so go on out by yourself. And what the Word says, don't put trust in the arm of flesh. He said, don't trust in it, because it's deceitfully wicked. But how many of us, and that's what my wife talked about a little while ago, how many of these, we're talking about Christian marriages, get divorced more than the world do? The world put up with each other's dumb stuff. See, he's doing his thing, I'm doing my thing. Then we come home together, smile each other's face and whatever, whatever. But we're talking about Christian families, the ones who could commit themselves to Christ. Those families are the ones that's breaking up. Why? Why? Because we commit spiritual adultery and we refuse to humble ourselves and turn to the Lord and ask for the forgiveness that he came in this world and died for. The communion that we take, this is a reminder of what he did for us, y'all. We are married to Christ, married to him. And by being married to him, we are obligated. You can't just marry somebody. Or were we lying when we took the oath and we said, well, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord? Were we lying then? Because the devil knows the word too, remember? So we're lying to Jesus then? What were we saying when we did that? What are we doing when we wake up in the morning? Are we thanking him the first thing in the morning and remembering all through the day how we're acting with each other and even doing ourselves or what we're watching? And do we realize who we are? This is the beginning, y'all. This is a chain-breaking time. This is the time when we have to realize that God has called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And he did that for a reason, for we to shine down here for him, we're to represent him. We're getting down to the wire, y'all. Before I pray out, would you like to say anything, Mr. Davis?
Yeah, I just wanted to encourage you all to go before the Lord and cry out to him on behalf of your own heart. God has a wonderful way of changing our hearts. And sometimes, you know, we get in a little thicket. We are oppressed first and foremost by the enemy because he doesn't like us by virtue of our father's, our relationship with our father. But sometimes we are even our own worst enemy because we grin and bear it. We allow the enemy to have his way with us, but I pray that you will seek the Lord with all your heart, that you will trust that if you call on him, he will answer you. That's his promise to you. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Seek him out. You don't have to know everything. God will see to it that you get the information that you need, but you got to take a step, and you got to take an honest step towards him. And I pray that you do so in Jesus' name.
Amen. And so, brothers and sisters, as we leave tonight, I ask you this. Let everybody who see us see God in us, and us in him, and everything that we do, press towards that mark, because the day is getting darker, y'all. And we never know when he's going to crack the sky and come. But for those who will leave before that time, make sure you know what you're going. Do now what the time is. So, Father, I ask you that for those who are listening, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would humble their hearts to Father, and they would repent and turn to you, that they would repent of their spiritual adultery, Lord. I pray for the Father, we all repent from our spiritual adultery, because all the fall short, that's what you said, Lord. So, Father, heaven, until we meet again next week, I ask that you would have your way. Continue to pray the word that we would share with each other, that you would get all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Good night, everybody. God bless.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.